Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Good. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have been delivered from the darkness, delivered from the entrapment of sin? You have had a deliverer come to your life and take you out of that darkness and to put you in His marvelous light. Has that happened to you? He deserves a shout, a praise, a hand clap, whatever it is. He deserves that. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's see what's on the list next. How many of you in your life you have had sickness or a disease or something in your life that was physically attacking you or on you or in you or whatever it was, and He has healed you? Get up, get up and give Him praise. All right, you guys stay standing. You guys stay standing. This right here, and I'm in that group, by the way. This right here is witness that God still heals today. Amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. I tell you, I'm glad He's all sufficient. Whatever we need, He supplies it. He's the great supplier, provider of our needs. I'm going to be speaking to you a little bit from Luke chapter 1. I want you to go there. We're going to look at this thing on about Mary and the season that she was in at this time in her life. And we're going to focus on the words that came, the Rhema words that came, the words that were being spoken at that very time, being spoken into her life, over her life. How many of you have had words spoken, a Rhema word, a spoken word? This is the Logos. And then God gives the Rhema word, the speaking word that He wants to say to you today or whenever it is. How many of you have had any of those words come to you as promises to God? You've had those. Raise your hand. Wait. Just wave at me. Just wave at me. See, God still speaks today. He speaks to all of us, really. Sometimes we're just not listening. Okay, sometimes we're just not listening. But anyway, we're going to be looking at some of that and how that impacts our life and what we should learn from the scriptures for today of what happened these years and years and years ago. But let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now, the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. Sent from God. See, it was a Rhema word coming. There's a God has something to say to somebody, and it comes. Are you hearing me? And to a city of Galilee called Nazareth, a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph and the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, this is the angel, and coming in. So He comes in. So every once in a while, God comes in and has something to say to you. Have you ever been reading the scriptures or watching a movie or something, and God speaks to you at that very moment about something? See, that's the Rhema. That's the Rhema part of Him speaking today. You know, because when Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, not in the physical, not just in the physical, but by every word. That word is Rhema, every coming forth word. He didn't say every logos that was written. He said every word that He's speaking to you, that He illuminates to you. That's what you live by. Anyway, now you live by this too, because we have it. But see, God is not finished speaking. You know, we think, no, He's through speaking today because we have this. This is the canonized word of God, Logos, and it is precious to us. It's the living word. But see, God is still speaking to us. Amen? So anyway, so the angel is sent, and He comes in and He said to her, Hail-favored one, the Lord is with you. You have to understand these things that are being spoken. The Lord is with you. You're favored, and the Lord is with you. So remember that. But she was greatly troubled. An angel shows up and talking. But she was greatly troubled at this statement. Now, here's the thing we need to understand. A lot of times we get greatly troubled because we hear something that God is saying. And we're troubled over it. Sometimes we get troubled. But she didn't just stay troubled at it. The Bible said, and she kept pondering what kind of salutation this was, this might be. And the angel said to her, look, watch this, don't be afraid. So what, she's not just troubled, she was afraid. The angel knew she had fear. He said, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. There it is again. You found favor. See, this is the speaking, this is a word over Mary's life. You found favor. And here he goes on, he says, behold, you will conceive in your womb. Bear a son. There's another thing. You're going to bear a son. You're going to call his name Jesus. He will be great. He just begins to say that he will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. So he's going to be a king. He's going to be given a throne. And he will reign over the house of Jacob. How long? Forever. See, all these words are coming to impact Mary's life about the son that she's going to have. And the rhema words are coming to her. And he said he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. His kingdom will have no, there won't be an end to it. How many of you know that there's not an end to the kingdom of God? Amen. There's not an end to the kingdom of God. It is eternal. We need to hang on to those things. It's an eternal kingdom. And Mary said this to the angel, how can this be? So a lot of times when we get words, we'll say, how in the world can that happen? Have you ever been there? God speaks to your life about something. He said, how is this going to, or you get a word from somebody that's a word of prophecy that you're going to be this and this, and you're going to do this, or you're going to see this, or you're gonna, whatever. And then we're like, how in the world can that happen? And she had the same question. She was troubled. She had fear. He's still talking about her having a baby and about the baby that she's going to have, what he's going to be like. And she said, how can this be? And then she begins to question, said, how can this be since I'm a virgin? I've never known a man. And the angel answered and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. This thing, the Holy Spirit coming upon you, is the same wording that when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. Y'all get it? And the form of a dove landed as a form of a dove. The presence of the Holy Spirit came and rested. So this says the Holy Spirit came and rested upon her. So, and also when it says the Pentecost, when it talks about Pentecost, and it says the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, same word. So we have the Holy Spirit in us for us. We have the Holy Spirit to come upon us for others. Jesus didn't do any miracles until the Holy Spirit came upon him. That was the empowering of God for him to perform in miraculous things and do miracles. He didn't do any miracles until that happened. So this is very important for Mary. It's very important for Jesus, and it's very important for us, because he said you know, Pentecost. And then he tells us that we're going to be his witnesses. Empower us to be witnesses of him. And that word witness means martyrs. It means you'll have the power to give your life whatever he's asking for. It won't be a natural thing. It'll be a supernatural thing that you know that God is saying, hey, I'll give you my life. Y'all understand what I'm saying? All right, so this saint upon you, and he said, and then he says this, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. This overshadowing is like a cloud. It's like the presence of God being manifested to overshadow, which means to pass over her. And it's not just a shadow. It said It said the power. That word power means it's dunamis. It means it's like dynamite. It's like miracle working power. Not just a power to do, but it's a miracle working power. So the Holy Spirit overshadowed, the power overshadowed her, and a miracle happened. Outside of man, she conceived, and a miracle happened. It is a miracle birth. And he says, for that reason, the offspring, the holy offspring, shall be called the Son of God. And he goes on and said, and behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. See, so here are statements being made by the angel that's being spoken to Mary over her life. Words spoken from God over her life. She was troubled, she was afraid, but yet she pondered. That is a key thing that we need to learn. So, and then he goes on and said, for nothing is impossible with God. Turn to somebody and say, nothing is impossible for God. Now turn the other direction. If you even cross the hall, just tell them, nothing, nothing, nothing. Everybody say, nothing. Nothing's impossible. See, we look at that, we look at these things and say, well, no, that's going to be impossible. Nothing's impossible for God. Okay? Then Mary said, behold, the bondservant, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. The word that you have spoken over my life, I surrender to it and I declare it to be done in my life, what you have said. Amen. Now, we're going to be learning some things concerning this today, but we'll continue this. And at that time, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country of Judah, and entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. And it came about, that when Elizabeth heard her greeting, her spoken word. And the baby leaped in Elizabeth's womb. And watch this. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it is a word from God, and it is God's presence in her midst. She cried out with a loud voice, said, blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that, listen to this, and the mother of my Lord, she already sees it's the Messiah. The mother of my Lord has come to me. The mother of my Lord has come to me. And then she goes on and says, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. Blessed are you because you have believed the spoken word that he has given you, and you expect it to be fulfilled. You have believed that the fulfillment of what was spoken to you is already there. That's how important it is when we get words from God, when we hear God speaking to our hearts and by the power of the Holy Spirit leading us to go do this or telling us to go do that and lead us in the direction. We need to follow that word, even though it may have a little fear in it. It doesn't have fear in it, but it causes us to be a little fearful. It causes us to be a little bit anxious. It causes us to be this and that. But we have to ponder what he's saying to us. And when we ponder, and the Bible said that she kept pondering. She didn't ponder one time. She kept pondering what was spoken. And it goes on, you know, that blessed are you that there would be, you believe that there would be a fulfillment of what has been spoken to you by the Lord. Are you expecting the fulfillment of what God has said to you? And so we have to investigate that. We need to analyze that. We need to look at that and see how much we're saying, okay, all right, am I leaning more in the rational mind? Am I leaning more in the natural part? Am I leaning in that direction? I just don't see it happening. Are we leaning more toward, you know, what God has said to me? I expect the fulfillment. I believe this thing is going to be fulfilled. When he said, I'm going to meet your every need, what should we say? Amen. He's going to meet every need, and it's going to be fulfilled. Amen. Now, he didn't tell you how it would be fulfilled. Other than the power of God, God can use people, God can use things, God can use whatever he wants to fulfill his word. Amen. But see, she believed it. That's the reason she got to the place of saying, she made the declaration, be it unto me what you have spoken. And we have to be at that place to first say, if God's spoken to us and said this, then we need to say the fulfillment of that is coming. And I'm surrendering myself to that spoken word for that to happen. And I make a declaration that it's going to be fulfilled. Because that's what Elizabeth said. You expect you believe the fulfillment of what's been said. So what is God saying to you that you really need to ponder on? You really need to investigate. You really need to meditate on it and look at it. You really need to do that. We need that place of saying, I really need to reflect on what God has told me. Amen. I really need to reflect on what he's telling me, what he's showing me that I need to go do. Y'all with me? So we see that, and then it goes on. The shepherds, they show up. They see that, you know, the angel shows up to the shepherds, and they tell them, said, oh, I bring you, they're afraid too, and he said, I bring you good news, great joy for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born unto you a Savior. The Savior has been born, who is Christ Jesus. Then it says he will be a sign for you. Here's a sign that you'll see. He's for you. You'll find the Savior. You'll find him as a babe wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger. So here's another rhema words. Here's more words that are coming. Not written down, but it's the words that are spoken at that very time. And the Bible says that they leave instantly. And after they ponder the thing and look at it, they go straight to Bethlehem. He said, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing which the Lord has made known to us. What did they seek? Tell me what they were seeking. Talk to me. What were they seeking? They were seeking the fulfillment of what they have been told. They were seeking the fulfillment of what they had been told. You and I need to seek the fulfillment of what word has come to us. We need to seek the fulfillment of it. Let's go look at it. Let's go find this thing. Let's go find what's been spoken. Let's seek for it. So they do that. They seek for it. It's been made known to us. And they go to her. Watch this. And they go to them. And they made the statements that they had received. They spoke it to Mary and Joseph. So they received the words from the angels, and they sought it out, the fulfillment of it, and then they began to say to them the very thing that was said to them. Said to Mary and Joseph the very thing that's been said to them. Now, so when they heard these things that they were told by the shepherds, Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. So we're seeing some things happen in Mary's life that she's doing that's causing the fulfillment to happen. She's treasuring. When you treasure things, you don't just have them out in the open. If you've got a treasure, you just don't bring your treasure out on the front porch and start showing the treasure to the neighborhood. Why? No, it's a treasure. You don't want the thieves to come. It's treasure in her heart. The safest place for the word of God is in your heart. Amen. Thy word, David, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, it was hidden in his heart. So it was treasured by her. And she treasured these things, pondering them. This word treasure means to have a tremendous value for. Tremendous value for. In such a way that it protects the treasure. She put a great value on what was spoken to her. We need to put great value on what God is saying to us. Great value. Not just a, think about it. No, great value. Treasure. And she kept it. And she protected the word in her heart and with her heart. The Bible says in Matthew 6:21, where the treasure is, there will your heart be also. So whatever you treasure, your heart's going to be in it. Okay. Matthew 13:44 said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which when he found it, he hid it. He found it and he hid it and he sold everything that he had to get it. Whatever sacrifice I need to make for the fulfillment of this word to happen, I'm willing to make it. Are y'all okay? See, this goes so deep. This goes so deep with us that we don't really understand that the Bible says persecution and tribulation comes because of the word. So when God gives words, when God tells you something, there's going to be a contradiction that's going to rise up, and it's going to be in the form of persecution. It's going to be in the form of tribulation. See, there's a battle. See, the battle is this: which word will we believe? And see, the thing about God giving us words, over there in the parable of the sower, he said, the sower sows the word. The seeds sow the seeds, and the seeds are words. And he said, if it lands on hard ground, he said, the fowl of the air, the intention of the enemy is to do what? Steal the word that was sown. So how is a word that was given to your life, given over your life, how is it stolen? By being unattended and ignored. When a word that comes, if we don't give attention to it and we ignore it, it's stolen. The fowl of the air come and just pluck it up, and come. So when God tells us things and God gives us words and we know it's from God and we don't move on it, we don't ponder it, we don't treasure it, what happens to it? It's stolen, gone. Why? Because it never entered into your heart. So when a word is unattended, when a word is ignored or put off, I'll do that next time. Well, then the next time you can't even remember what was spoken. Why? Because it's forgotten. Why is it forgotten? It's been taken. Because we didn't give attention to it. And if he can't steal the word, the Bible says that he will sow tares right beside the word of God. Your enemy, after a word has been spoken to you from God, your enemy will sow a tare, a counterfeit, a thing that contradicts what God has said. He'll sow a contradiction in your life, and we're going to have to choose. Why is that? Because the enemy, if he can't steal it, if you leave it unattended and just ignore it, it's gone. Have you ever heard sermons that you wish, saying, what was it he said? I don't remember what that said. You know why? It didn't enter our hearts. We never allowed it to enter our heart. We just ignored. We just said, my goodness, when is it going to end? Did I leave the iron plugged up? How many of you have ever said that? I mean, Why? Because we're preoccupied. Why? There is a sowing of confusion that the enemy wants to do to steal your attention away from what God is saying. So if you can't steal it, he'll sow tares. The word tares there is like it's poison. It causes a drowsiness. It causes a slumber. If we pay attention to what the tares are, what the word or what the confusion that the enemy is sowing, it'll cause us to be sluggish in the things of God. It'll cause us to be slower in understanding and grasping what God is saying because our attention is on something that's a counterfeit. Well, because we haven't treasured. We haven't sensed. Wait a minute, this is the word that God has given me. And I'm going to treasure it in my heart. I'm going to protect it. And I'm not just going to bring it out in front of anybody. Y'all hear me? I'm not just going to bring it out in front of anybody because I can't trust everybody with the word that God's given me. Amen. Until it's time. So we have these things that we're learning just because of Mary and Joseph and the thing that's been started to happen in their lives just when the words of God started becoming to their lives, over their lives. And like I said, if you can't steal it, he'll sow tares. He'll sow things that will cause you to have slumber about spiritual things. You know, that parable says that when he sows the tares look like wheat, but they never bow. The wheat bows at its fruitfulness. Tares stay straight. And they say, don't remove it now. They both have to grow together. What does that mean? It means a contradiction is growing in your life from the enemy, that he wants to contradict God all the time. Not once a while, all the time. He wants to contradict what God is saying in your life. And we have to choose. We have to say, wait a minute, this is what God said. It's like this. Let's just say God has told you that you've been given the gift of healing. Which the Bible says there is a gift of gifts of healing. Amen. And you get the confirmation from the Holy Spirit, this is you. Are you with me? And you begin to pray for somebody for healing and they don't get healed. What do you have? You have what God has said, and then you have a contradiction that the enemy is yelling at you about. Which one are you going to give your heart to? Which one will you treasure? Which one will you ponder upon? What God has said or what the enemy is saying? Y'all okay? See, there's a contradiction from the enemy about just about. He said, okay, I'm going to help you. You know, financially, you're going to be taken care of. Then what happens? You go broke. Something happens. The economy falls. This didn't work. This didn't work. That didn't work. That didn't work. And all of a sudden, you got what? I got the word of God saying, I'm going to be taken care of financially. And then I got all these issues over here. The tares over here are saying, nope, not going to happen. So the reason the tires are important is the fact that it tests us to choose God. And it brings us to a place, I really need to trust God and what he said. And not what the enemy is saying. Y'all okay with that?
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you the truth. I really am. God has said things to you in your private moments and revealed things to you, illuminated things to you that you have not pondered enough. You need to ponder. You need to treasure. See, that pondering means you're going to sit down and you're going to look at it, analyze it, just investigate it, open it up and review it and say, this is what God said. This is what God said. This is what God said. And you're going to protect it and you're going to watch over it. This is what God said. It's a rehearsal of what did God tell me? What did God tell me? What has God told me? Treasure it. Amen. Ponder it. Believe the fulfillment of what God has told you. See, it might not be fulfilled tomorrow.
Right.
It might not be fulfilled next week. But we have to hold it in our heart, treasure it in our heart, guard it in our heart, protect it, ponder it, meditate on it, look at it, talk about it with your spouse, with your family. What has God told you as a family? What has God told you? What is God telling you? What is God showing you? Hang on to it. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. So you begin to see, and the reason, you know, and Simeon, she comes up on Simeon when they go 8 days later. They go to the temple and have Jesus dedicated, and Simeon takes the child and dedicates Jesus and praises God for him and everything. And here's what he says. He says, let me find it. I don't want to. The quote, I just don't want to quote it, but I want to get to it. Now, when's the last time you saw somebody do that? Used to, could never do that 2 years ago. Anyway, they go, and Simeon says this, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and a sign of opposition. Sign to be opposed. He's not the one opposing, but he's a sign for opposition to come. Then he says this, and a sword will pierce even your heart. So in the midst of all these glorious words that the angels are saying and the singing and all of that kind of stuff and all the statements about Jesus and everything that's been said, in the midst of all this glorious moment comes a man called Simeon, and Simeon is like, and your heart will be pierced with a sword. Be pierced like pierced with a sword. In other words, it will be painful. It will be painful. Did she see pain? She saw her son whipped. She saw her son beaten. She saw, are you with me? So in the midst of all this, there's the contradiction. Every word that comes to your life, there's a contradiction that comes with it. Not from God, but from the enemy. The word spoken in your life, over your life, will draw contradictions. That's the reason we have to deal with it. Mary had to deal with it. How about this fear? How about this anxiousness? Every time we're anxious and we give place to that, we're giving place to something that is inferior. If it's not God saying it, it's inferior. Everything the enemy's saying is inferior to God. So when we feel the anxiousness, find out what we're trusting in. Find out what we're leaning upon. Find out what we're pondering. Find out what we're treasuring. because she had to deal with it. And then she surrendered. She said, be it unto me as you have spoken. What you said, I want it in my life. And therein comes the fulfillment of what God has said to you. So, in conclusion, the things that we see, the words that we have, the things that are in conflict. By the way, that word about tribulation, persecution arising on account of the word, just because it's in Matthew 13:21, if you want to know. So what should we do with the words that God's given? Here's what we must understand: that opposition and conflict will come because of that word in our life. But do not empower the inferior. The word of God is all powerful, yes. The word of Satan is what? Does it have power? Does it have authority? Nope. It will only have the power that I lend to it. It will only have authority when I lend authority to it. When I begin to agree with the enemy, it empowers. See, when you believe the lie, you empower the liar. So if God has said you're going to be healed, guess what you should believe? You're going to be healed. So understand that opposition will come. There'll be a word, the counter word that goes up against what God has said. Learn to treasure, value deeply what God has spoken to you. Guard it. Number three, guard it with all of your heart. Hide it into your heart. Number four, ponder and meditate upon it in your heart. Tend to it. This word ponder means to evaluate, to look at it and to meditate on it until it's settled. Yeah. Until it is settled in you. See, this pondering has a settling. I get to the point where it's no question anymore for me. It's no question anymore for God and God loving me. I used to question God loving me years and years ago. I used to question God loving me. But when I had the encounter of His love, tangible encounter of His love, I've never questioned it. No matter what happens to my life, I'll never question God loving me. Why? It's settled. Why? Because I pondered it. I've treasured it. It's settled. See, in the word it says, whose report will you believe? Are you going to believe the report of the enemy? Or are you going to believe the report of the Lord? And that's the question. Are we going to believe what God said? Or are we going to believe what the contradiction is saying? Then it says, look for its fulfillment and then surrender to it and declare it to be so in your life. So that's what we learn just from these passages about how we can operate today with God's word. See, the Bible, you know, we look at it and we say, well, you know, what do we get out of this? Well, you get your freedom. You get everything that God wants you to have. And by the way, He gives gifts. And He gives gifts freely. But my Bible tells me He is a rewarder. He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. He doesn't give a reward. It's not free. A reward comes because you have what? Sought Him. A reward comes because you had an option to either do or not do. But He's the rewarder. Gifts are given free. Your salvation, it was a free gift for you and I. Our maturity is a rewarder. My growth is Him rewarding me with growing as I seek Him. If I'm not seeking Him, I'm not being rewarded. Okay. Okay, it's early. I'm done. Did any of this go inside? You didn't go inside. Just remember, there's always going to be a contradiction to what God has said, and the enemy will make it visible in your life and my life. But the question is, are we going to lean into the contradiction, or are we going to lean into what God has said? And I'm treasuring this word that God's given me, and I'm pondering it, and I believe the fulfillment of what he said is coming.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand up. No, I'm not pulling them out to read them again. See, isn't God good? I mean, with all of this, see, Mary had to go through these. We have to go through them. But I'm telling you, you're going to see the fulfillment. You treasure, you ponder, and you hold on to, and you'll see the very fulfillment of what God has spoken in your life, and it'll come to pass. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Amen. I do too. I believe our best days are ahead of us, and we're going to walk in the very things that he said we were going to walk into.
Amen.
We're going to see the very things that he said we would see. Does anyone in here need Jesus in your life? You haven't received him as your Savior, and you're saying yes to you. I want this Jesus that you've been talking about. I want him in my life. I want to surrender. Anybody? All right. So we're all brothers and sisters, right? Okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us, digging deeper into the things of God. Lord, that our hearts would be the treasure box for your word. That we would treasure it, not lose its value. And that we would ponder. And that we would say unto you, whatever you've spoken to us, we would say unto you, be it unto me as you have spoken. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Don't forget about Wednesday, Family Life Center. Bring finger foods, and we'll celebrate together.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.